You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our conversations in the Set Apart to Serve series today. We get to talk with a high school student today, new high school student, freshman, actually, on his perspective of considering pastoral ministry. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Emmett Oldie. He's a freshman considering pastoral ministry, recently participated in a Higher Things conference as well. Emmett, thanks so much for being our guest today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about participating in Higher Things. Was this, what number of conference was this for you? First, second, fifth?
This was actually my first one.
Very nice. Where did you first learn about Higher Things? How did you get involved with the conference?
So at my church, my older brothers went to their first one a few years back. And then I think it was last year or the year before, they went to the big national one down in Texas. And I wasn't old enough to go yet because the national ones are only high school and I was still in seventh or eighth grade. And so we had talked about going to the one in Arkansas this year and it just sounded really interesting to me. So I was like, sure, I'll give it a try. Why not? And I ended up going to it this year with my older brother.
Very cool. So what was your experience like? What were some of the things that you got to do and experience and all of that good stuff at the Higher Things Conference?
So at the Higher Things, the first day we had our big divine service when everyone first got there and you took communion and everything. And then overall, you just got to meet a whole bunch of new people, talk with some new friends, and just overall meet a bunch of new people and just learn more and grow your faith and just have a lot of fun.
All right, let's unpack some of that. So you got to attend divine service together, pray together with brothers and sisters from across the country. You got to learn together and meet people. Let's talk about learning. What are some of the things that you get to choose some of the sessions that you participate in and learn? What were some of the topics that you chose to learn about?
One of the breakout sessions I went to, they were called breakout sessions, and you just got to go to a room with one of the reverends or pastors, and they talked about a topic for about 45-ish minutes. And one of them that I went to was with a vicar, actually. I think his name was Daniel Clausen. And he talked about like what the pastor wears and what it all means. And so he went through and gave us like a breakdown of what like their clothes and robes and their just different things that they wear, like, and what they all signify. Then I went to another one called Won't You Be My Friend? And he was talking about the Bible story with the Good Samaritan and how to be a good neighbor, you need to be like with people when times get hard and you just need to be with them overall. I think another breakout session I went to was with Reverend Goodman. He's a really nice guy. He's like really energetic and keeps like the crowd entertained. His are a lot of fun to go to because he was talking about self-esteem and how if you have too much of it, it's a bad thing, but you need to keep it balanced and have some that's, if you have some of it, it's good, but if you have too much of it, it gets bad at some points. He was a really nice guy. He kept the crowd all entertained and he was really interactive with us all. It was super fun with him.
Yeah, we do love Pastor Goodman. He is definitely entertaining, as you say. Yeah. It's so good to hear you talk about these different breakout sessions and the things that you learn. I know that that's the point of going to this. So you're learning and absorbing, and that's awesome to hear you talk about the things that you were able to learn. Who were some of the people that you got to meet and to kind of build your group of Lutheran friends? Talk about that a little bit.
I met this guy from Nebraska. He sat next to me in Pastor Goodman's breakout. And it was a person from my church, me, and then there was an empty seat. And he came and sat next to me. And I just started talking to him for a little bit. He came from Nebraska. He was a super nice guy. So at nighttime, we had these little like activities where you'd go and play games. And I went and played pickleball a few nights. I met some people from Louisville, Kentucky. I played pickleball with them. They were also really nice. And we just started talking about like the differences, I guess, from Kentucky and Kansas, where I'm from. Then I met these two girls from Louisiana. They were pretty nice. They were nice people. Me and my older brother. So my older brother, he's a senior. So one of them was a senior and another one of them was a freshman. And we were just playing pickleball with them a few nights in a row. And we would just walk around. And I think those are the two people that we were probably the closest with. And I look forward to seeing them again next summer because they were a lot of fun to be with and just fun to talk to. And I think that's like mainly the people that I like actually made friends with, not just the people that I had like a few conversations with. Yeah, everyone there was super nice.
What about the relationships with your brother and others you went with from your church? How were those relationships? Did they benefit from traveling together and attending this conference together?
I think they did. I think as a like youth group, I think my whole church got a little bit closer with the conference because, I mean, we stayed in hotels together and we did everything in a group instead of just like seeing each other like once a day. We were with each other for about 4 days straight. It was a lot of fun being with them. We would go to the breakfast in the morning together and we'd all sit together as like a group. And then I think the only time when we really split apart was either the breakout sessions or at night with the like nightly activities. But then we'd all get back together and go to Compline together.
Oh, Compline.
Yes. Oh, the best. Yeah. It's the best. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that, about how you closed your day at the Higher Things conferences.
So the first day we went to the big chapel with everyone and we had Compline or Compline. I don't know. Yeah.
Both are accepted.
Yeah. Yeah. And we went there and the pastor there, we had just got back from the games and we were all sweaty. And there's a pastor that walked up with a bottle of water and he goes, here, this might cool you off. And he just started dumping it on each of our heads. It was so funny. And there's a big old pool of water on the floor and we were all laughing and having a great time. And then one night we did it at the hotel on our own and it was definitely a lot worse. Our singing could have done a lot better. But overall in the chapel, it was a lot of fun with a whole bunch of people in one place and the singing was just beautiful with everyone.
Yeah, what about the rest of the worship that you got to do at Higher Things? I mean, there's a lot of services that you go to during those few days that you're together. What were some of the highlights for you during the different morning prayer and vespers and evening prayer and the divine services and Compline? What are some of the highlights for you from all of those different services you got to attend?
I really liked just being with, I think it was about 700 people in one place for one service. So in my church, we're lucky. In the second service, which is the one I attend, we're lucky to have maybe about 60 people on average. And well, actually it's 60 at the max. We average about 30 to 40. And like the difference in hearing 30 people sing and 700 people sing, it's just astonishing. I really, really liked the sermon for the divine service on the last day. He was talking about who you wanted to be. And he started like listing off a whole bunch of examples on who you wanted to be. And it just like really widened my eyes. It's like some of my friends are going to turn out to be like not as good of people because they're just not making the best decisions right now as they should be. But I really, really liked just being there with a whole bunch of people and just how smooth the services went. Because there was four services a day. You had the morning prayer, and then you had matins, vespers, and if you went to Compline, which we did. And it was just like, the first day it was like, oh my goodness, four services. But then as you went through and you were like the second and third day, you were just like, okay, it's actually pretty fun. But it was just with a lot of people there, it was a really big difference from being at a small church. It's just astonishing how big of a difference it makes.
Yeah, praying the offices like that can really set a rhythm for your day and an opportunity to have that fellowship, not only in the service, but also in the learning settings and the time for play as well. That's really neat. I want to talk about the people who have played an important role in shaping who you are, particularly your faith. Who are the people who have shaped you, who have been influential in your faith life?
I think for me, honestly, some of them are my sports coaches, but mainly my parents, my pastor, and our youth group leader, Kevin. Our pastor, his name's Thomas Johnson. He's a super nice guy. I've been going to the same church since I was a really little kid. So I've just gotten to connect with and know a whole bunch of people there. And one person that has just always stuck out to me is our pastor. He's a really, really nice guy. And I got confirmed last year. And before that, I was in his catechism classes. or his catechism classes because I had seventh grade and eighth grade with him. But now I'll have our youth group leaders class, Kevin. And seventh and eighth grade year in the catechism class, it seems like a whole lot because you have to be there like every Wednesday during the whole school year. So my eighth grade year with confirmation, I mean, I'd get done with football or wrestling practices and I'd get home and I'd just be like, oh, now I have to go to church. But then like towards the end, I was just like, yay, I get to go to church. And it just like kind of like changed my perspective on the whole thing after we had gone through like the whole like learning part of it and just got to the actual part where you were like studying and confirmation questions and how you were going to answer them all and get them all just like ready. And honestly, it's just like a big difference, I guess, from the start to the end when you're getting confirmed. And Kevin, our youth group leader, he's a really, really nice guy. And we serve breakfast on the first Sunday of every month at our church. So yesterday, we had served breakfast. And there was only a few people there, like they were actually serving it because some people were like out of town or whatever. And it was a lot of fun because we had a meeting about like fundraising and everything. So we're able to go to the national next year. And we just started talking about a whole bunch of different ideas. And it's just like being in a small church, it's a lot of fun whenever you have a youth group. Our youth group's not very large. I think there's maybe about 12 people in it from like fourth grade to senior year. Because our church is like mostly older people, like probably 40s and up. And it's just a lot of fun because you're one big tight-knit group. And it's just a lot of fun whenever you're in a tight-knit group with a bunch of people, or not a bunch of people.
Certainly spending that quality time together, hearing God's word, learning together, serving together, certainly sounds valuable as well. We're going to learn more about Emmett Oldie and his consideration of pastoral formation, studying to become a pastor in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're continuing our conversation in the Set Apart to Serve series today. We're talking with Emmett Oldie. He's a freshman in high school, considering pastoral ministry, participated in Higher Things this summer and active in his congregation and youth group at his congregation as well. Now, earlier you mentioned sports. You mentioned your coaches playing a key role in shaping who you are, particularly your faith. How are sports a part of your daily life or a part of your life as a high school student?
So I participate in four sports. I do football, wrestling, track, and soccer. And usually before like football games, I'll get us all together and we'll usually say a prayer before the game. And it's a lot of fun doing that because it's like you're worshiping God and you're trying to bring everyone closer in faith. And doing four sports, it's kind of a lot sometimes, but it's a lot of fun because I really enjoy playing sports. They're just so much fun. And I don't know, it's just a lot of fun playing sports, I guess. But sometimes it gets to be a little much, like whenever I go to church or whenever I go to school. And then I have practice, and then I have church, and then I come home, and it's already like 9 o'clock, and I just, dang, my whole day's already gone. But I would not change anything for the world. It's a lot of fun, and I'm really excited for what this football season has to bring for me, as long with the wrestling season coming up, because the wrestling coach, he's already talking about possibly me being varsity as a freshman, and it's just like really eye-opening the difference between kids in your grade and seniors. Because we had a scrimmage a few weeks back with a few other schools from around us. And I went in for varsity on defense and linebacker. And the difference in JV kids and varsity kids is astonishing. Those seniors are big. It's just crazy to me. And they're just, it's this honestly is, I think one thing that helped me a lot was just believing and just thinking that I could stay out there and stick with them as much as I could.
Yeah, you're in a season of transition going into high school, into high school athletics. That's a big transition for you. And it sounds like you're doing sports pretty much the entire school year. So this is this is a huge part of your life. And obviously you find so much joy in it. I can see the joy in your face as you're talking how much you love doing this. And that's really awesome that you found something that you really love to do. How do you incorporate your faith into being such an avid athlete during your time on and off the field?
So a lot of the time, I'll always, like I said earlier, I'll get my team together before football games and such, and we'll all say a prayer together and we'll all like kneel down, and it'll either be like me or usually a few other people that'll like pray for us, I guess, and just pray for everyone's safety and just pray for a great game. And with my wrestling headgear, I always write Bible verses on it. And right now, I think I have Luke 18:27 on there. It's for what is impossible with man is possible with God. And I always just try and somehow incorporate my faith in my sports, whether it just be by writing a Bible verse on something or praying with my team before games or just trying to express it somehow.
Now, it's my understanding that you are considering the studying to become a pastor when you were at Higher Things. Got to meet the Reverend Dr. James Bonick, director of Set Apart to Serve, and he mentioned that you are considering formation or studying to become a pastor. When did you first start considering this?
I started considering it, I'd say, either my first or second year of catechism, so around third or fourth grade, I'd say. And at first, I saw my pastor up there and I was just talking to him and I was asking him like what it's like to be a pastor and all this. And he had told me when I was a kid, he was like, just don't be a pastor. You're in it for the money. I was like, I wouldn't be. And it was talking to him like about being a pastor and the pastors at the Higher Things. It seems like a whole lot of fun to just be able to teach a whole bunch of people about God's word and try to bring them closer in faith. And I personally would love to. It's just, I don't know if I'd have the time to as a pastor and trying to balance out everything else. But I really hope I could. I would love to be a pastor.
Who else has been influencing your decision? You said third or fourth grade, you've been thinking about this. So it's been a few years. Have you talked with other people and have gotten advice from other people in your life about what it would be like to serve in this kind of ministry setting?
I've talked to some people in my church about it, and they've all told me that it sounds like a great idea and that I should indeed consider it. But I've also talked to some other people, like my family members, and they're just like, why would you want to be a pastor? Because they call me athletic. So it's like, why not try to be something in sports or something like that? And it's just, I would love to teach a whole bunch of people about God's word and bring them closer in faith instead of maybe just being an athlete. And at Higher Things, I talked to a few of the pastors about being a pastor and going to like the universities and studying in it. And the leader of Concordia in Nebraska, I was talking to him about it. And we just had a conversation about studying in theology, I think is what it's called, with the ministry and starting to become a pastor and like the steps that lead up to it. And it was just like really intriguing in learning new stuff about being a pastor and like the steps to be one.
Yeah. What do you think lies ahead? So you're going into high school now. Do you know what education would be involved in becoming a pastor from here on out from high school and forward?
I don't know like how many years exactly it is, but he was talking to me and he said that out of high school, you can either take a break and then go into it, or you can just go basically almost straight from high school to like becoming a vicar and then becoming a like actual pastor. And it just seems, I don't know, I think I would want to straight out of high school just so that I could start it as young as I could and just teach as many new people as I could about it.
There's quite a bit of studying that comes with it, certainly. Yeah. And I'm sure you'll learn more about that process as you learn more about becoming a pastor and talk with our friends at Concordia Universities and at Concordia Seminaries as well. You mentioned earlier that your love for sports, others has seen that and thought, how would that pair well with being a pastor? I know plenty of pastors who serve as coaches and other church workers who teachers as well, Lutheran teachers who serve as coaches and athletic directors in schools, both in Lutheran schools and in public settings as well, and certainly use those athletic experiences and gifts that God has given them to be faithful witnesses where they serve in those settings as well. So you can be a pastor and certainly serve in a setting where you get to use your athletic experience as well.
Yeah.
What lies ahead for this fall season for preparation for sports? And what does that mean for you as a student and being in God's word regularly?
So here in about a week and a half, we go back to school here in Clearwater. And the freshmen have to go in about a day early because we have to tour the school and get all our classes and our schedules and meet the teachers and everything. Personally, I'm not too excited to go back to actual school. I mean, I'd love to for the sports, just not so much the actual school. But I'm excited to see everyone again after the summer and having it off and not really seeing anyone. I'm excited to go back and see all my friends. But I'm really excited for football season to come back because over the summer, on Wednesday mornings usually, we'd have these little like practices, or I don't know what to really call them, but they were just like Wednesday morning little like practices where you'd go and you'd learn some of the plays and like what position you'd be at. And the first day, our football coach, so he was our like assistant track coach for middle school last year. And he was talking to me and he was like, have you thought about what position you want to play yet? And my whole life before like this year, I'd played running back and middle linebacker. And this year he was talking to me and he was like, what do you think about quarterback? And I was like, I can try it. I was like, no guarantees I'm going to be good at it because I haven't played it since about third grade. But the first day, I mean, I was like terrified. I was like, what am I going to do if I mess up? The whole team is depending on me. And the first day I was super nervous and I was like, gosh, I hate this. I can't do this. I was like, I'm switching back. But about a few days in, I'd say, of the actual like week long camp, I was like, hey, this isn't as bad as I thought it would be. I think the worst part, honestly, is just being on JV and we scrimmage against the varsity. But the other day, or not the other day, it was a few weeks ago, we had our little scrimmage. And whenever it was JV versus JV, I was like, okay, I got this because the kids aren't 16 feet tall and ripped. But it was a lot of fun in that. And I had a whole lot of fun playing quarterback and linebacker on defense. And I'm just really excited for the actual practices to start back up and just get back into the rhythm of sports and everything.
Yeah, that sounds very exciting for you. Lots of new learning experiences happening on and off the field as you enter this fall. What about with youth group and things happening at your church? What's ahead of you this fall for youth group? And you mentioned looking ahead to gathering as well.
Yeah. So our catechism, I think, will start back up here in about 2 weeks as well, because it's usually about the school year's length. It goes from August to May-ish. And I should make it there for every Wednesday. I'll just have football practice and I might have to leave a little bit early to go make it there. And as a church, we're already starting to look forward to either going to the national next year in New Orleans, I think, or finding another higher things conference to go to. And I think we're going to end up going to New Orleans as long as everything like stays on track as it is right now. And I'm just really looking forward to being in the class with Kevin, our youth group leader, and with a bunch of other high schoolers that are confirmed now. Because my class last year had me and one other kid. His name is Zach. It was me, him, and then a seventh grader named Laura in our class last year.
A bright future, a great year ahead. Our guest today, Emmett Oldie, freshman high school student considering pastoral formation. Thanks so much for being our guest today, Emmett, and sharing your story with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.